If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
We'd like to, once a week, just say hello to Eric Zorn, the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel, and my fellow mincing rascal on our podcast, which will drop tomorrow. And there's Eric again. I'm Mr. Zorn. How are you today?
I'm good. And if I ever run for office, you're going to hear me fiddling some old-time tunes.
Yeah. You're really good at that. You can play the piano, the banjo, the fiddle. Can you play the guitar?
Oh, yeah. I play the guitar and the mandolin.
Oh, sure.
I don't play piano very well.
Mandolin, piano. What else do you play?
Not piano. I would not call myself a piano player.
I have not seen you play the piano. Mary Schmeek obviously do it at the Songs of Good Cheer, but I haven't seen you play the piano before. No?
Yeah, I did. I actually played 1 year at Songs of Good Cheer.
There you are.
My first and last public performance on the piano. But no, Mary Schmeek is a terrific piano player, and I would never even dare to play piano around her. So, it's interesting how these. I do know that Roy Wilson has had a TV show, I think, a gospel singing TV show. And do you think he's going to run for office again? Because he's writing a column for the Tribune, or at least somebody's writing a column under his name, and he's giving away free gas again.
I noticed that, yeah. Well, when's the next election that he would run in?
Well, I mean, you never know with him. I mean, he's run for mayor a couple times now, and that's still going to be almost 4 years off.
Right.
But there's next year you could run for Senate, I guess. Dick Durbin up next year?
Durbin is. I believe Durbin is. The question is Durbin going to run again? Because he's I just hear rumblings that maybe Dick Durbin might not run again. Mr. Durbin, if you're listening, 312-981-7200, give us a call. He's one of the oldest members of the Senate.
Is he older than President Biden? Look that up real quickly here.
Nah, I don't. But anyway, all of this is just predicated on Vivek Ramaswamy rapping at the Iowa State Fair, which on the one hand is kind of ridiculous, but it's also kind of fun. It humanizes these people when they do things that we all do or like to do. And since Vivek Ramaswamy, I don't think, is a human being, it's probably good if he does some things that sort of parrots human activity. So there he was rapping at the Iowa State Fair. On the topic of politics
he was a rapper before that. I think this wasn't just a state fair performance. This is something that he had done, I think, earlier in his personal life.
Not 100 years old. He's, he got a degree in biology, but he's a high-tech executive, and he says he's a scientist. I'm not sure that a degree in biology makes you a scientist, but it just seems like he's got so many skills and attributes that he's not old enough to be a rapper. He hasn't had time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, hip hop is 50 years old this year.
Well,
have you followed this latest controversy with him that he is slamming Nikki Haley by using her given name and her maiden name, because it's they're both Indian American,
yeah.
And Nikki Haley's maiden name, her name is like Nimarata Randhawa, and so Vivek Ramaswamy says, "Keep lying, Nimarata Randhawa," it seems like a dog whistle to me, but it's a very strange dog whistle coming from someone whose name is Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yeah.
And this is the same party that used to always talk about, Republicans used to talk about Barack Hussein Obama.
Well, that's what
trying
I'm
trying to make him
of.
Sound like a,
this
like,
is,
like
this is not the
so
same
it's like
party. It's the
very
same
childish
politician that he's parroting. I mean, he really is. The read on Ramaswamy these days is, if you can't have Donald Trump, here's his stand-in. It's this Vivek guy who said he would pardon him anyway. He really is just reading from, as much as anybody is, the former president's playbook. Do you see him that way?
Oh, I totally do. And I think that he is, I think he's angling right now for a vice presidential spot. He's as Trumpy as he can be. And the question that everyone's wondering is, if the Republican Party turns away from Trump, are they going to go for someone who is more moderate, like a Nikki Haley or a Tim Scott, or just about anybody else who was on that stage last week? or they're going to go for another Trump, someone who is, you know, talking about how what a dark day it is in America. I mean, we're not, well, this is not Ronald Reagan's Republican Party anymore. You know, morning in America. This is American carnage. This is a party that sees everything as being terrible, and it seems to be working. At least Trump is hanging on with incredible poll numbers. But if he happens to falter, or if he's, you know, if some of these legal troubles he gets into ultimately turn primary voters against him, Ramaswamy is right there to pick up that Trump mantle, and he's doing it, I think, more effectively than Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, well,
he's Trumpier than Ron DeSantis.
By the way, did you read the book American Carnage?
I did not.
Yeah, which is the title of a book about Trump's ascendancy, and it's pretty good, actually. By the way, speaking of the former president, his mugshot, of course, went viral. It's beyond going viral. It was more mainstream than maybe something that's viral has to be. But you are writing in your newsletter that you don't think we should publish or use mugshots. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that the publication of mugshots is inherently unfair to people, that you're essentially taking a photograph of them at what for most people is their lowest, most humiliating moment, and you're publishing it. And if a picture is worth 1,000 words, then most of those words in a mugshot are synonyms for guilty. And unless there's a real pressing reason for publishing a mugshot, like perhaps this is someone who you want to make sure that it's this John Jones, not another John Jones, who's been charged with a crime, or maybe you think that this person, this mugshot, could help the public solve other crimes. I would advise against publishing them. I think it's wrong. I think that, you know, as much as I believe that Trump is guilty of this crime that he's been accused of, I think that publishing a mugshot of him is gratuitous. And I think it's true of everyone who is. I mean, when we published Rod Blagojevich's mugshot, we have thousands of pictures of Rod Blagojevich. Once Rod Blagojevich is arrested, you're taking a picture of him at a particularly low moment, and I just don't think it's fair.
Well, that's very thought-provoking, because the history of mugshots is the history of forensic science. It's how do we determine who the suspects are or the prisoners are. How do we know who's who here? So we need a picture of them. That's why we even have a mugshot. But if the person's sufficiently famous or with other means of identifying people now, it's less necessary. Ironically, though, I mean, I take your point, but actually, if Donald Trump is going to be arrested and arraigned and then released, and those three things should happen, I wonder if you would ask him in hindsight, yes to the mugshot or no, would he volunteer for it? It was a great photograph of him. His face looked thinner. You didn't see his body. We didn't have to squabble over the height and weight. His tie, shirt, and jacket were perfectly symmetrical in those all-American flag colors. And he had that scowl. He had that "we're not going to take it anymore, never surrender" pose. I think that picture worked well for him. Do you agree with me on that?
Oh, it clearly did. I think that that's it's an anomaly when it comes to mugshots. When famous people, celebrities are arrested, they often, like Nick Nolte, if you remember those mugshots.
Sure,
I mean, when celebrities, politicians are arrested and photographed, they're usually in sort of a bewildered state. They're often not as ready for it. Trump had plenty of warning, and my guess is he and his team practiced in front of a mirror for a long time so he could get that scowl just right for his mugshot. So I think that it did work for him well. I think that he raised a lot. Probably raised like $7 million
That's the first day after that.
But it also excited people on the left. And again, I don't think it should have any place in the administration of justice. And, you know, there are a lot of sites. It used to be that a mugshot was maybe published in a newspaper and then disappeared. But, of course, now mugshots can last forever on the Internet. And that's not fair either, because just because you're arrested and charged doesn't mean you're guilty. And sometimes people are arrested.
Absolutely.
And their mugshots are splashed, and it comes up on a search, and there you are in a jail under harsh light, blinking back your fear and your bad feelings, and you were never found guilty, but that's the first thing that people see. And again, I feel like if there's a pressing reason to have these mugshots out there, absolutely. I mean, the public has a right to know, and I don't think that there should be a law against it, but I just think that journalists should be much more restrained about publishing moonshots. And I think that, and I think, well, no, come on. I think that, that responsible newspapers do not routinely publish all the mugshots of people who are arrested and booked in Chicago, for instance. That they save them for moments that they think that it is important. I think that that conversation does take place in newsrooms.
Well, if it adds a layer of information to the story, look, in the case of Georgia, it's the law. So I have no problem with them taking the mugshot. And I can't fix the world, but every media outlet in the world is going to publish the mugshot of a former president. That's going to happen if it were Barack Obama or if it were Bill Clinton or if it were George Bush. If you're a former president and you get booked like that, your mugshot becomes part of the public domain. People are going to see that. But if Georgia wanted to change the law, I get it. I think you've got a better chance of repressing these things that way than asking journalists to be a little more prudent about the use of the thing. But my last observation to you, Eric, and I really do think you're onto something here, is there is a certain bloodlust when you knew that picture was coming. It's like, oh yeah, let's get him. Let's see what that picture looks like. That'll teach him. That'll humiliate him. And this is a person who's not been found guilty of anything. This is true of anybody who's got a mugshot. So to the degree that we see it as somewhat punitive, right? Like, that'll teach him. That's, I get it. That's probably wrong, as the person technically doesn't deserve any punishment right now, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's true. But I think, as I said, you can build a case in certain instances if someone has a common name and you don't want everybody, like, you know, Bob yeah. Smith, to yeah. feel like they've been, yeah. that, oh, that Bob Smith, that must be the guy down the block. So I can see some instances where that would be important to know. But again, I don't like the idea of a law, because I think that law could really easily be abused. Like, we can't release it. I'm essentially for freedom of information, and when governments are acting like that, I think there should be cameras in courtrooms. I think there should be, public access to these things. I just think that we need to, as a society, show some restraint and realize that a mugshot basically looks like you're guilty.
Okay,
and I think that sometimes that's the point. That's the point that media outlets like
absolutely.
Today, like, well,
that's
he's guilty. Look
certainly
at,
been the case here. Okay, so you also said in your Picayune Sentinel, Eric Zorn, that women and men should play against each other in chess tournaments, maybe even in billiards tournaments. Think about that. But what do I know? Last I paid any attention to chess was the Queen's Gambit, and I thought that was a relic. I guess they still segregate the sexes in tournaments, and you had something to say about that after this. We're talking to my fellow mincing rascal in our podcast that drops on Wednesdays, Eric Zorn, the publisher of a newsletter called The Mincing Rascals, the Picayune Sentinel. For years, you read him in the Tribune. Eric, I want to read you the comments that came in based on what you said about mugshots. You get to say one thing about all of them quickly, and then I'm going to ask you about chess. You ready? John, that picture makes Donald Trump look like a six-year-old who didn't get his way. 708, a journalist is advocating for not publishing mugshots. Eric Zorn is really pushing for less transparency. 815 says, King John, Trump's mugshot's laughable. He looks deranged. 773, he looks like the devil. The next one says, have you guys not seen Mugshot Monday on the Monday morning news on Channel 9? I have not, but even Steve Bertrand reminded me that newspapers as clickbait used to publish a whole bunch of mugshots for people to look at. And 847 said law enforcement uses mugshots for ID because they're not doctored or airbrushed. Last comment from you, Eric.
I love the comments that people have on this. I think it's a very interesting subject.
Is chess still segregated? Do men play against men and women play against women?
Yes, at the high levels they do. And the International Chess Federation recently said that transgender women cannot compete in official events for women. And transgender women, that is someone who is born male and transitions to female, cannot play in women's tournaments. And this prompted me to ask the question, why in the world would we separate men from women in chess? We separate men from women in certain competitions, and basically because testosterone that men get a lot through puberty, and certainly gives them advantages throughout the rest of their lives in terms of their size and strength and so on, give them overwhelming advantages in certain sports, especially at the highest level. But in chess, it's completely a mind game. It's a strategic game. And to suggest that there should be separate categories from women and men would be like there should be separate Nobel Prizes for men and women or Pulitzer Prizes for men and women because they have different capacities. And taking away a title from someone because they've changed their gender, it seems really wrong to me. And so I just put that out there. Like, I don't understand why we would do that anymore. I think the reason that they started doing it in chess is that it was such a male-dominated field early on. It was one of the things just culturally it became, chess was just a male-dominated thing. And they wanted to encourage women to play. And so if you encourage women to play, you know, for social reasons and other things, then that lets them win championships and titles. But at the very highest levels, I don't see a reason for it. And I've yet to, you know, some people say, well, because men have better spatial abilities than women do, and that makes give them an advantage. And I don't buy that. I think that that those are sort of normal genetic and personal differences that people have, and that men and women should be able to compete in mind games and in artistic pursuits and so on a totally even playing field.
They have national Scrabble tournaments and international Scrabble, and I think men compete against women in Scrabble, for what it's worth. And now I'm out of time. Eric Zorn, maybe we'll talk about this on the Mincing Rascals podcast. We'll record it and drop it tomorrow, and you and I will have an announcement to make about a public performance of the Mincing Rascals then, too. So dial in for that, and I'll talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
I look forward to it, John. Thank you.
That's Eric Zorn. You can subscribe to the Picayune Sentinel if you just email ericzorn@gmail.com.